All right, chapter 25. Now when Festus was come unto the province, after 3 days he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. And there he met the high priest and all these, the chief of the Jews. They informed him against Paul and besought him and desired favor against him, against Paul, that he would send for him to Jerusalem, lying await in the way to kill him. Now we talked earlier about how they made a vow among themselves, a promise, that they'd not eat or drink until they killed Paul, and he was laying away. Now, a little over 2 years expired, and I'm sure some of those have eaten by now. But anyway, they still were anxious to kill Paul, and still was willing to hide, kill him by the way. And so Festus answered that Paul should be kept in Caesarea, and that he himself would depart there in a short time he would go. Let them therefore, said he, which among you are able, go down with me and accuse this man, if there be any wickedness in him. Now notice the thought that we have in this verse is a fact that maybe there is and maybe there isn't any wickedness in him. I'm sure that Festus at this time wasn't convinced in his own mind. Now, they were doing everything they could, and Festus wanted to please the Jews, but he also had a job, and there was also Roman laws, and he didn't want to jeopardize his own place there at all. So he says, you come down to Caesarea and we'll see if there's, make your own accusations there. And when he had tarried among them more than 10 days, he went down to Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought in. And after he got there, there wasn't much time lapsed until he called Paul on the judgment. And when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood around about and laid many grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. Now, it seems like, as I read this too, that Festus was a wise man. He wasn't led by other people's words or accusation. He listened to them, but he wasn't influenced by them. Many times people are influenced by what the majority thinks or what influential people think. But it doesn't seem like Festus was influenced by them. He seemed like they realized that they were saying things that they couldn't prove one way or the other. While he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor against Caesar, have I offended anything at all. So Paul was allowed to answer, refuted the accusations concerning him. But still in verse 9 we read that Festus still wanted to please the Jews. He answered Paul and said, will thou go to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me? Now, you see, if Paul hadn't have been a Roman citizen, I doubt if he would have asked that question. He'd probably just sent him up there. But being he was a Roman citizen, he couldn't just do that. Now, he knew that from verse 3 that the Jews wanted him to, and if he could have got Paul to go, this would have pleased them quite a little bit. So he asked him if he would go back to Jerusalem. In verse 10, then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged, and to the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well know. You know that I haven't wronged anyone. And him being a Roman had the right to appeal to Caesar's judgment hall. Now this was Augustus Caesar time. He had the right to appeal there. For if I be an offender and have committed anything worthy of death, then I refuse not to die. I'll not fight it at all. But if these things, if there be done these things wherefore these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal to Caesar. He used his citizens' rights to appeal to Caesar. Now, from this time on, it couldn't be changed. Once this appeal was made, and it was agreed on by the council, then it couldn't be changed at all. In verse 12, we read that it was agreed on. Then Festus, when he conferred with the council, answered, "Hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar thou shalt go." Now, this was the turning point of his road to Rome. God used this in every way. I believe that God had direct Paul into appealing to Caesar, into using his citizen rights. So now he was bound by the law to go to Rome. And after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came unto Caesarea to salute Festus, or to pay their respects to Festus. And we talked about this King Agrippa. This is King Herod Agrippa II, and his sister Bernice came down. When they had been there many days, I don't know how long they stayed, Festus, in the meantime, had declared Paul's cause unto the king, saying, "There is a certain man left in bonds by Felix." Seemed like he'd almost been forgotten, doesn't it? Well, he wasn't in the kind of bonds that we have thought of being in shackles, but he was bound in the fact that he didn't have fullest liberty as a citizen. "About whom, when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders and the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him." This word judgment has a thought of a decision for sentence. Of course, they wanted the sentence of death for Paul, but they were pressuring him to give some kind of a sentence, some kind of a decision concerning Paul, so they get it over with. "To whom I answered, it is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die before that he which is accused have the accusers face to face, and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him." Now, Rome had a law that any time a Roman citizen was accused, he had a right to answer for himself. And so Festus couldn't just pass a sentence on him. He says, "Wherefore, when they were come to hither, they without any delay on the morrow." In other words, there wasn't any too much lapse of time. We didn't delay things. We went ahead, and the very next day, "I sat on the judgment seat and commanded this man," the man, "to be brought in, brought forth, against whom, when the accusers stood up, they brought none accusations of such as I supposed." They didn't accuse as I thought they would. And what they did, they came down with a lot of accusations that they couldn't prove. Now, in any courtroom, you can't accuse, you can't bring forth things that you can't prove. They're not interested in hearsay. They're not interested in what you might think. They're interested in facts. And so it was in this court. It was facts that was important, and not what they heard somebody else say. And so they didn't speak as I thought they would. Verse 19, but I had certain questions against him. And their questions were of their own superstition, and of one Jesus who was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. Now this is it was for, as Festus was concerned, all their problems was not a legal problem, but it was a religious problem. In fact, the word superstition could be translated religion. It was a problem concerning their own religion. It was concerning a man called Jesus, who Paul said was alive. They said he was dead, Paul said he was alive. Now, this wasn't worthy of anybody's death, was it? See, this is the thought that we have there. "And because I doubted such manner of questions, I asked him whether he would go to Jerusalem and there to be judged of this matter. And when Paul had appealed to be reserved unto the hearing of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept until I might send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself. Tomorrow, he said, thou shalt hear him. So there wasn't any delay there. And then on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Agrippa and Bernice were come with great pomp, all dressed up, great display of power in their dress, and was entered into the place of hearing with the chief captains and the principal men of the city, at Festus' command Paul was brought forth. And Festus said, King Agrippa, and all men which are here present with us, ye see this man. So he addressed his court to Agrippa first, and then all the others that were seated in the judgment with him. You see this man, about whom all the multitude of the Jews have dealt with me, both of Jerusalem and also here. And their cry, their strong voice, was that he ought not live any longer. The accusation wasn't the point. The point was this man needs to die. Regardless of what he did, he still needs to die. When I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and that he himself had appealed to Augustus, the fact that Paul had appealed to Caesar, he had to write a letter concerning the problem, and as far as he was concerned, there wasn't any problem. How could he write a letter concerning a problem if, in his opinion, there was no problem? And yet he was appealed already. See, he had let the thing go on too far, and he was the only one that had the problem now. He said, of whom I have no certain thing to write unto my Lord. Wherefore I have brought him forth unto you, and especially therefore thee, O King Agrippa, that after examination I have somewhat to write. For it seemeth to me unreasonable to send a prisoner, and not with all to signify the crime against him. It'd kind of be a kind of a dumb thing to do. So he had a problem, and he had Agrippa here to kind of help him to write a letter to Caesar.